Hello, hello. Welcome to the Embody Your Soul podcast. I am your host, Alexandra Shelley, also known as a modern medium. And the mission of this episode is to, the mission of this podcast is to create a sacred space for us all so we can tap in and discover how we can connect to our divine self through spiritual connection and best practices. If you are new here, thank you so much for finding me. And if you are a regular listener, thank you so much for coming back every week to listen in on the magic. Follow me on Instagram and Threads at themodernmedium_. If you are looking to book a service with me, head to my website at themodernmedium.com. And I have a new beautiful container, I guess you could call it like a healing container, but also mentorship, called the Intuitive Path. And this is a combination of my psychic mediumship, my integrative trauma coaching, and Reiki healings to help you feel trust within your vessel, to finally trust yourself, and most importantly, to help you reprogram your body to feel safe to trust your intuition. If you want to learn more about that, listen to episode 90. I think it's 90. Nope, I lied. It's 91. Okay, listen to episode 91 if you would like to learn more about it. And email me at hello@themodernmedium.co and we can chat more about it and book a time. Anyways, you guys, I wanted to dish about this because you know me, I love to share what I'm learning. I love to share my growing pains. I love to share my journey. I love to be totally real and authentic and messy and wonderful and silly. And my journey right now is now entering the dating portal, I'm calling it. The dating portal, because this is something I've been intuitively called into as I am entering the path to sacred union and uniting with my soulmate in this lifetime. And I speak like this because for a whole lot of reasons. So anyways, listen to episode 89 if you are interested to Izzy. And she is a practitioner I've felt has really activate even more my calling to unite with my soulmate in this lifetime. And part of that journey is to start dating. And one part of dating is that it makes it like it communicates to the universe, this is serious, I care about this, and I'm putting this out there, that I am like, I'm putting myself out there because we can't just sit at home all day. And so pretty much I've entered this dating portal in a much different space than I was 6 months ago when I entered it in March. Holy crap. Actually, not 6 months ago, almost a year ago. Wow. I say 6 months ago. Holy crap. That was like 10 months ago. 10 freaking months ago. And sorry, I'm just really, whoa, that was 10 months ago. And I'm in a much different place. I'm doing things much differently. And I really wanted to share that. But also, I've been having some revelations too. And I really wanted to talk about it. Because listen, I'm the type of bitch that is going to talk about it, especially if no one's talking about it, because it needs to be talked about. So first, I wanted to share just the different embodiment I have in terms of going into dating and how this is like really helping me. And then I really want to dive into the speak around sexuality in the spiritual industry, because there's a lot of the medicine that I deeply respect and I have been practicing and I practice, but then I'm also experiencing a record scratch moment where I'm like, wait a second, what? Like, this feels shaming. This feels dogmatic. This doesn't feel this doesn't feel liberating as sexuality should be. So I want to bring that up. So number one, something like a mantra I'm saying to myself, and what I've also really solidified in my body, is that I have the power and I am not afraid. I am no longer afraid because I have the power. I would get very triggered by dating because, one, I would very quickly give my power away. And part of me giving my power away was really hoping that the guy that was in front of me would work out. Hot, funny, attractive, even though, like, I knew deep down that he wasn't my soulmate, my guy I was going to end up with, I wanted it to work out because I wanted that attachment. I have an anxious attachment style. And I'm like, wait a second. I can't give my power away. So what I've had to do, of course, it could be literally be a whole podcast episode or two, is do the work within myself to create safety in my body and really recognize my power and that I ultimately hold the keys. I hold the keys to my power and no one can take the keys away from me. I can willingly give my power away, but no one can take it away from me unless I allow it. And what would happen too is I would attach these guys and then I would be very heartbroken and I'd be totally despondent. I would feel powerless. And now I'm like, wait, now I have the power. So I cannot be afraid. And I no longer want to be afraid of these men. Like, I would almost like want attachment because I was afraid. Like, it was so interesting. Attachment style is so interesting. So anyways, that's what I'm going into with this mindset and this embodiment of I am not afraid because I hold the power. If I don't like something, I say it. If I don't like something, I stop it. If I don't like something, I end it. It's that simple. And I think also making it simple too. And that can even lead into number two, is make it simple. I would always like overcomplicate it with like, maybe this could work out, or maybe they'll like this, or maybe whatever. And it's, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, I want this, and I'm not going to tolerate this. So I'm not going to overcomplicate it by over-explaining or overdoing or over-giving or trying to get them on my side. I'm just going to keep it simple. Number three is, yes, I know that this journey in the dating portal is a portal and it's triggering as fuck for sure. But for damn sure, I am not subscribing to the story that dating is shitty, that dating is insufferable. That's just not how I live my life. Personally, like, I must live a life of pleasure and joy. I must. I am a 5-1 pure generator, y'all. And what I have been affirmed in a couple readings that I've had is that I must live a life of joy. I must live a life of hell yes and hell no, get out. And I don't see why dating can't be fun and pleasurable and sexy and full of discovery and exploration. I don't see why it would have to be terrible. I just don't. Yes, of course it's triggering, but it doesn't need to be shitty. I just don't want to subscribe to that. So that's been like really helping, is wait a second. Let's have fun here. Like, I don't need to take everything so seriously. Number four is making sure I make myself the center and I put myself on the pedestal. And I know it's, oh my God. I follow this really great like dating therapist, dating coach on Instagram, and her name, I'm pretty sure her name is like Sabrina Zohar. And she shared this, like, she did this stitch of this girl that's like going to sleep at 8:30 p.m. because the guy that she was dating hasn't responded, and how that's of course alluding to an attachment style and needing the text to affirm safety, and just how, of course, like that is something that needs to be resolved. And literally, do I get that so much? And what I have found that happening, or I feel myself, I feel a little bit triggered. It's, I remember the things I love. And I remember that also, like, I'm a busy bitch. Like, I have things to do. And that's what also makes you hot, is when you have, like, your things to do. And the guy isn't thinking about what we're doing. I would say at least most of the time, it's typically, at least, like, what I've, me and, like, my female friends, like, we are the ones that are antsy and anxious, and we're waiting for the text back. It's so important to remember, like, your individuality, your creativity, your sovereignty, and the things you love to do. And even forcing, like, I have to force myself to do it sometimes, because sometimes I'm like just anxious or whatever. And I'm like, no, like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to record this podcast, I'm going to clean my house and like, do laundry. And it's do things, like, get up and do things. And that's where shit gets worse, is like when we just ruminate and we're waiting. And even something I've been repeating to myself too is, I am safe. I am safe. I'm sure, again, you listening to this podcast, you're an intelligent person, and you may be aware of when we get anxious, it's also like those primal instincts of survival and abandonment. At least for me, I know that's where it hits home. And I need to remember, I'm safe. Like, I am not in danger. I am safe. I got me. And that's what ultimately matters. Like, I got me. And I can't rely on this person to, like, totally have my back, because I just met them. I'm just getting to know them and I'm meeting them. And we can't put all that expectation on that person to reassure safety. But, of course, like, when we deepen a relationship, we get into a serious relationship, of course, like, we want them to be reliable and grounded. But anyways, that is something I am absolutely trying to remember, and I feel like it's so important when it comes to dating. And I love that I'm doing it differently, and I love, even though, of course, like, good Lord, I've just had the yuckiest like, just such just like holding my chest, like the heartbreaks, like what I've been, like the knees I've been brought to, what I've been brought to my knees. And, but I'm so grateful, because now I'm here, and I'm just, again, I'm doing things differently. And I hope to share this, and I hope, of course, these things resonate.
Okay. So number five, this was definitely something I had to get so real and so honest with myself. But I will say, I have been able to get comfortable with it because I've been putting in the work and really connecting to the frequency of my soulmate and sacred union, and knowing that sacred union is with a person, like, it's with one person. At least that's the type of relationship I want, like monogamy and like union with one person. I know people are like polyamorous, non-monogamous, we love it. But I know for me in this context, it's monogamy and divine union. And what I would do in the past is I would hope that the next guy would work out. And even though I knew they weren't my person, I would just like hope that they would work out, because I just wanted that attachment. I didn't want to deal with like the rejection or multiple rejections. And I realized, I'm like, wait, 99% of the people, like, or whatever, 9 out of 10 of the men that I go on dates with are not going to be my soulmate, because that's not the point. Like, I am on the path to unite with one man. And so I need to look at like the rest of these men as like discovery and as an opportunity for me to be in discovery. And even like going back to this discovery can be fun. It doesn't have to be a slog. It doesn't have to be restricting. Yeah, of course it's going to be triggering, but again, like taking things so much lighter and also just being so clear with, yeah, this is what I'm looking for and this is what works for me. And I'm at the point where it's fuck it. Like, why not go on a date? Like, it's a date. And the harm is like the date sucks. I have been on a horrible date before and it was literally like really put me in my place and we love it. And it's like a really funny story to look back on, but that's the worst thing that could happen. And let's say pretty much what happened was like, I was catfished so hard. And you know what I'm going to do next time? Leave. I'm literally going to leave. And I feel so confident now to, I have nothing to lose because I don't know them. They're just a person. So anyways, like number five, just getting really comfortable with the fact that it can't work out with every single person that you go on a date with. Like, it's going to end up working out with one person, and every single man that I am going to be going on dates with or dating is discovery. It's all discovery. And even like within this context, I'm also really working on having a, which is easier said than done, like a neutral stance on it, like a very neutral stance of, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I truly do not know. Like, God and my guides, my higher self, like the universe has surprised me every second of every day. And I can't assume things anymore. And of course, like, I have intentions and I'm given divine vision and whatever, but I truly don't know. And for instance, even it's so funny, I was literally recording this episode last night and then I ended it because I was headed off to a date. It was my second date with this guy. And long story short, it's going really well so far. And at first I was like freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? Like, we're really into each other, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I truly don't know. I cannot plan the future with us. I don't want to predict the future. I don't want to hyperanalyze it. Like, I am accepting this experience as is. And I truly don't, I like don't know what's in store, but I'm just going to keep flowing. I'm going to keep receiving and I'm going to keep meeting myself where I'm at. But at the end of the day, again, I don't know. And I was even talking to one of my closest friends about this situation. And she repeated to me this like very well-known like Taoist parable, which is about the old man who like first he lost his horse. And the people in the village were like, oh, what terrible luck. And he's like, yeah, maybe. And then the horse comes back. I'm like, amazing luck. And the horse came back with three horses. So it was amazing luck. And he was like, yeah, maybe. And then all these kind of events happened, which was like, you could label it as bad luck, good luck. And the whole time he's just, yeah, maybe. And just really allowing it to be what it is. Like, it just is what it is. And I think a lot of the time, because again, I'm so deeply emotional, I'm so freaking passionate that I really would like, I would really escalate things, whether it was like high highs or low, low lows. Like, this is terrible. This is awful. This is devastating. And this is amazing. This is perfect. And it's, I think sometimes I know for me, what really helps is like being grounded, being at peace and being present. So I could actually be clear. And I could actually be like discerning, because when I'm like too heightened in whatever emotion, I'm not as clear and it's not as helpful. So just, again, having a very, again, easier said than done. Trust me, like having a more neutral perspective of, I don't know, but I love it. And I love that I've called this amazing man in and he's absolutely wonderful and things have been so beautiful so far. And I just don't know. But I know that I am like divinely guided. I'm divinely protected. And yeah, I just know it. So number six is actually how do I put this? This has been a reframe I've been having. Downloads or epiphanies or whatever about the spiritual community and sexuality. And I find it so fascinating. It's very common in the spiritual community, at least like with potentially the algorithm I have and like the woman I follow, because I'm very much into womb healing, sex magic, all that stuff, to be celibate and to be celibate, to be pure. And the whole concept of course, like your womb holds stories, your womb holds trauma, like all this stuff. Like I get it. I am like, I've done the womb healing with my best friend, Kayla. I've had those periods where I've been celibate. Like I'm in my ceremony with the rose. And what's interesting though, is I think it is quite funny. There is this like puritanical angle and like this rhetoric around sexuality and sex and the spiritual community that is mirroring like very dogmatic and very restricting and fear-mongering in a lot of the sense. And I just found it odd because I personally, like to get very personal, like I'm a very sexual person. I have a lot of Shakti, I guess you could say. And I love it. I think it allows me to be super creative. It allows me to be flirty and fun and feminine. And I love it. And like fiery and driven and like all the things. And I don't want that part of me to feel ashamed on this journey. I don't want to feel ashamed if I want to have a night with someone that I feel like connected with and safe with and all that. And I just, yeah, like one night I was feeling, or like actually one morning I was feeling a lot of shame because I was like, oh my God, what if I do this? Or what if I did this? And like, is that bad? Did I ruin everything? And I'm like, wait. First of all, I don't think, at least the god and the goddesses I work with, I don't think they would want me to feel this way. Like, I think this is the last thing they want me to feel is shame of my expression and shame of who I am. Also, what came through like really strongly in a sex magic practice, my guides were saying, your soulmate is connected to your soul, loves you for your soul. They are not going to give it a hoot about your history, about your trauma or your sexual history or whatever history, because it brought you, like, you are here. Like, you are here and they love you for you and they love you wholly. And so then I'm like, wait, so then it won't really matter. And it shouldn't really matter if we want to like sleep with someone or if we don't. Like, we shouldn't be saving ourselves or doing these things out of shame to be a better partner. And I feel like that's where it could just get really tricky, is because there is so much beauty in celibacy where it's you're harnessing your power and you're doing a lot of healing. And I know, like, I've had friends, like, be celibate for a long time because they had to heal. They had to do a lot of healing. And, like, now they're, like, I know one of them is, like, in a really wonderful relationship. And, like, I've had times where I've been celibate and then I'm ready, like, to go out there and have fun. And it just comes with such a fine line, is, like, what angle is this celibacy or what angle is this expression coming from? Is it coming from a thread of shame, of being ashamed? I should be celibate, or like I should do this because it's good for my husband or my future husband. And it's like, that shouldn't matter at the end of the day. Like, truly, like the love of your life, the person that loves you and adores you for you, like they shouldn't if they're judging you and making you feel bad about your history, whether you've, whatever your body count, or if you've been celibate for years, like, that shouldn't be something that should turn them off. And yeah, that's just been, that kind of goes back to my experience, or, you know, the point about dating being pleasurable. And I want it to be pleasurable, and I'm going to meet myself where I'm at. And if I feel like I want to hook up with someone and I feel safe and comfortable, I'll do it. Like, why not? And if I don't and I feel like I'm not ready, then that is what the most pleasurable experiences is going to be for me. And I think it's about defining, what does pleasure mean to you? And like, how many faces of pleasure there are. Pleasure doesn't just have one face of like sex and touch and orgasms. Like, pleasure can be like comfort and peace and like quiet. Pleasure can look like so many different things, just like how love has so many different faces. And so I would say, moral of the story, I am really about being like a sex positive practitioner, and a practitioner that celebrates like your sexual autonomy, your sexual freedom, and your sexual expression. I feel like our sexuality and our sexual energy is so beautiful and powerful. And if that is something like you want to share with others, and or something you want to keep for yourself, or something you want to like, however you want to utilize your sexual energy is up to you. And I don't think we should be shamed for it. And I think the part where we get shamed for it is the part where ego got in there and we got it wrong. And actually, there's a friend I just made recently, and she has like a totally different perspective on sex as a practitioner versus like the ones that are about celibacy and like your womb. And she showed me this post that she posted that was like, okay, your womb, like, you are not more traumatized and dirty for like having a high body count or wanting to sleep with people. Like, in talking about the rhetoric of being dirty by sleeping with more people, or like how sex is a need just like food. Like, it is a need that is just like food and water and like basic necessities. And I'm like, that is also like a very, I can't refute that perspective. That makes a lot of sense. So anyways, I guess this is just more of a conversation starter, something I've really been like thinking about and something I've really been working with and discovering like where my angle is, what feels really good to me. So yeah, anyways, I love you guys so much. I hope this episode was like helpful. I feel like this is fun because it just gives you like a window into like my life and like what I'm doing, what I'm up to. And just obviously I talk about my practices and stuff, and there's always like a personal angle, but I feel like this one's a little bit more personal, and I love just like doing that because then you guys just get to know me more. And part of the spiritual journey, part of waking up to your soul, is shit getting real, like being personal, and you want to experience the human on the other side. So I hope I can do that for you. So I love you guys so much. Again, make sure to follow me on Instagram and Threads at @themodernmedium_. And make sure to follow this podcast wherever you love to listen. And if you're looking to book a service with me, head to my website at themodernmedium.com. And if you are interested in the intuitive path, please email me at themodernmedium.co. Or again, DM me and we can get a call going and we can talk about it more. I love you guys so much, and I will see you next time.